Deplorable Nation, a podcast where your voices can be heard, where things that affect you and your family are important, because it's important to all of us. Every one of us matters and everybody has a voice. We're going to be bringing you news, current events, and throw in a lot of humor. And then you decide for yourself. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Deplorable Nation. Today is episode 21. I'm going to call it Positive Energy. I'm your host, Deplorable Janet, and today I have a very special guest, one of my spirit animals in this world, I do believe, Mr. Jeff. How in the heck are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic, Janet. Thank you for asking. I'm very excited.
Very glad that we had the opportunity to do this, because today's topic is something that I will guarantee you very few, if any, people ever discuss.
I'm very excited to be a part of it.
Yes. So tell everybody a little bit about you.
I am 30 years old. I live in Portland, which is an interesting place to live, being a Trump supporter. I just in the last couple years, I was in a pretty dark place before that, got sober and started to learn about myself and who I was and what I was. And that led me down all sorts of roads as far as conspiracy and spirituality and a lot of self-discovery. I was a pretty codependent individual in my past, so spending time with me and kind of getting used to that was a learning process, but it's ended up being extremely rewarding. And I found out I kind of like me, so it's worked out well.
Well, I'm glad, because I kind of like you too.
that's good to hear. Why don't you tell that to some of the people in my neck of the woods? I refuse to wear a mask, so I get shamed pretty heavily as soon as I walk out the front door, which is something that I've kind of just grown accustomed to. I'm actually kind of starting to like it, if I'm going to be completely honest.
You rebel.
And it's like it's almost just turned into a term of endearment is what it feels like. I've got this automated response that I kind of spit out now, and something like, "Listen, Karen, you can get as loud and vulgar as you want, but I'm not putting one of those diapers on my face. You're just showing me and everyone else in here your level of intelligence. If that's what you want, feel free to proceed. I believe in your right to free speech just as much as I believe in my right to oxygen. Thanks. Enjoy your shopping experience."
Amen to that. Amen.
Go ahead.
So what is it like living there? I mean, with all the BLM and the Antifa and all that stuff, do you guys have... I know they're like big mask Nazis there, but do you have like weird lockdowns and all that stuff?
The lockdowns are pretty incredible right now. And it's, you know, there are places like New York that are talking about schools being closed again. You know, like our school's never opened. I have a son that's been out of school since, I think, January or whenever they got closed down initially, like ever since the first scare. They pulled everybody out of school, and they never even talked about reopening them. The lockdowns were some of the more severe ones that I've heard about, as far as penalties of massive fines, jail time. I think it's a gross misdemeanor to break lockdown right now, which is absolutely insane to me. Luckily, a few days ago, the sheriffs came out and said that they were not going to honor Kate Brown's extreme lockdown orders. And then right after that, she released a statement asking you to turn in your neighbors if there were more than six people in one area or in one home. So it's hard to know what things are going to look like tomorrow or the next day at this point, because it's kind of a task to just figure out how to get your groceries and get home. I have a truck with out-of-state plates that, because I haven't been able to get into the DMV since January.
Right.
And I have to worry every time I leave about getting pulled over because I look like I'm out of state. And technically I am out of state because I haven't been able to switch my residency from Washington to Oregon. I live right on the border. I'm about 10 minutes from the Columbia River, which is what separates us. And I actually didn't even get a chance to vote this year because I couldn't prove my residency. They wouldn't let me register in either state. And I was literally told to try again after November, which was very frustrating to hear. So me doing my part and my vote was to do my best to wake up the people that I care about and, you know, swing as many votes the way that I wanted to see them cast as possible because I had absolutely no way to do it. So
here's a question for you. Living there, and I know, like, that's a hotbed for Antifa, and they have, like, a headquarters there and stuff. What is it like being an actual taxpayer and living there when they're beating motorists and destroying property and all of that kind of stuff?
Well, it's frustrating, to say the least. The downtown area was one of my favorite areas to be. I mean, to just park your car and walk through downtown was a lot of fun. We've got some really cool, really trendy shops that are fun to frequent. And for the last almost year, they've been boarded up. People get attacked, you know, for wearing a red shirt that says Trump on it. Or, I mean, anything outside the norm or whatever you'd call it. In this part of the country, the norm is it's very left-leaning.
Right.
And so you're basically made to either keep your mouth shut or just deal with constant ridicule. Now, I haven't had any personal run-ins with big crowds in Antifa. I've been assaulted, like, physically twice in while I was trying to shop for not wearing a mask, which I can't understand that logic. I'm not wearing a mask, which you think is dangerous. So you're going to come up and physically touch me.
Exactly.
I can't make that work in my head. And when you try to have conversations with people about it, and because I stay calm, you know, I'm used to getting yelled at, and I mean, right. I've been yelled at my whole life. So it's like, listen, take a second, breathe. I understand what you're trying to do. I know you think you're being a good guy right now, but like the science doesn't support what you're screaming at me right now. And, you know, I've even got my phone out and showed people articles of actual science. You know, we've gone down the mask aisle and I've showed people on the back of the damn box that it says that it doesn't stop what we're trying to protect ourselves from.
Exactly.
I've got and interviews.
It does. And I've seen that firsthand working in healthcare. It does say that.
I mean, on the box, you know, and the guy who won, I'm pretty sure the guy who invented the test that we're using right now won a Nobel Prize for inventing the test. And he himself said that it couldn't be used on an infectious virus.
Right. Terry Mullins.
Because from what I understand, if you amplify anyone enough, you're going to get a positive result.
Right. Because PCR testing does not test for anything other than a molecule, which ends up being an exosome. Like anytime you have any kind of infection or bacteria, virus, you come in contact with allergens, anything like that, your body basically encapsulates them and kind of traps them in this little tiny little bubble to expel them from your body or to protect your other cells from them as they're traveling.
So we're testing for something that our body produces to deal with any virus.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
And so that's the thing is that any, and the wonderful thing about PCR testing is that you can amplify it to such a level that literally every person on the planet will be positive because it's picking up something.
Right. Well, and I'm not a doctor, but based on the research that I've done and the people who are, you know, educated in that field, pretty much the best way to get everyone to contract the virus is to keep them inside all summer, isolated, right. Keep them as stressed out as possible, and then make it hard for them to breathe, right? They're not telling anyone to supplement vitamin D because we've been inside all summer. We all of our immune systems are just non-existent now from the quarantines, but we have to go, you have to go out at some point. Right. Even if you don't leave and you have your groceries delivered, like how many people touched those groceries before they got to you? There's no way to keep yourself completely isolated. So, you know, it feels like it's malicious to me.
It is.
And that our immune systems are being intentionally destroyed.
Right.
I know, for example, at Providence Hospital out here, I think it was last week, the nurses were instructed to mark everyone who came in a COVID case, everyone,
right?
Whether it was a sprained ankle or somebody got hit by a car, they were all COVID positive. Part of what really made me start researching this was we lost my grandfather on the 31st of March, which is like right in the thick of it. He got two tests before he passed. Both were COVID negative, and they still tried to document him as a COVID death, which I almost caught a charge getting reversed. That was not going to happen. We weren't allowed to go and be with him in the hospital. We got my grandma in, thankfully, but that was it. I mean, the whole situation was just terrible. They even moved him to the COVID ward.
To give him COVID.
Right. They tried to get him to catch it.
Right.
So it's just to have seen that firsthand and then talk to people, and it's not hearsay. I've got a couple friends that are nurses, and to hear what they're telling me, it blows me away. And you try to explain this to someone, like using logic, right? And common sense, and you get the fluoride stare, and you watch people just shut down because they don't know how to handle what you're telling them because it's outside, you know, their programming. And to me, programming is not, that's exactly what it is. And it's through pop culture and media and athletes and everything. It starts in school. I mean, school for me, I can't speak for anywhere else in the country, but for school for me was indoctrination. It wasn't education. I was told, I mean, probably 2/3 of the stuff that I learned in history was complete bullshit.
I agree.
And they push a narrative on you. And I wrote my exit project on high school being a manufacturing facility where they take in raw materials and they run you through this assembly line. And what high school is for is to weed out the reject parts, right? So you're either going to conform and you're going to do what you're supposed to do, or you're going to end up this outcast that can't succeed in life because you don't have a diploma. So now you can't go to college and you can't do this, which puts you in a completely different class of people that makes it harder for you to succeed. And then you end up turning to alcohol, or you end up turning to drugs, or you end up turning to something else that they're going to give you, or you're depressed, so they're going to write you a prescription for that, or you go to treatment that's state run. They're going to get their money one way or another.
100%. You know,
you're either going to be a functioning member of society or you're not, even if you end up in jail, they make money off of that. They're going to profit off of you one way or another.
You know, and everything you said is completely spot on, because people, for whatever reason nowadays, cannot deal with logic and facts.
Right.
And so there are some people that, and I've said this before, that are always going to be lost. You could provide them with every scientific piece of evidence, every statistical analysis, every study, everything. And you could even provide them something that said COVID was made in Wuhan by the scientist and he admitted it and, you know, whatever. And they still cannot come to a rational thought process. So think about this, like with the lockdowns and the curfews. Okay. Curfew and mask wearing are to get you primed and ready for the New World Order, because right. you will comply and you will submit, because COVID does not come out between particular hours, nor does any other virus, bacteria, or infectious agent on the planet. So it does not come out after 10 p.m. or 12 p.m. It doesn't occur just in restaurants.
You know, only when you're sitting in your booth.
Yeah, while you're standing up, if you come in the door, you have to wear a mask. And then once you get in your booth, you can take it off, because then it will go over your head because it's only tall. you know, none of that shit makes any sense. But well, when you ask someone, are so blind. They like, logic escapes them, and they have spent literally decades dumbing down literally every person on the planet.
I could not agree more. And I worry a lot about my generation, you know, being, I was born in 89, and it seems like I was kind of at the tail end of, and maybe beyond the cutoff point of people that were taught to think for themselves in any way. The generation behind mine is even, I mean, people 10 years younger than me, some of the stuff that you see them post or the narratives that they want to run behind, I can't make them make sense. I mean, I try to look at everything objectively, you know, from an outside perspective. I try to empathize with people and put myself in their shoes. And 90% of the stuff, I can't make sense.
Right.
You know, and they can't either. They just know that's what they're supposed to say.
Yeah. And it doesn't. And one of their big pushes is always to use children to further indoctrination. And so that's why children are always the face of a movement. And even with the Green New Deal from AOC and her communistic bunch,
which is scary.
Yeah. They started the Sunrise Movement, which is basically indoctrinating little kids to tell them, if you don't stop global warming and you don't stop climate change by giving billions of dollars in taxpayer money, we're all going to fry to death on the planet.
My 10-year-old brought this to me this week. Mm-hmm. This week. And when you try to explain, like, well, my deal was, is like, listen, we live on the Earth, right? The Earth has cycles, just like everything else has cycles, right. You know?
As it does, even yearly.
Yeah, and you try to explain this and feed them logic, and they're just like, nope, that's not it. That's not what I was told, you know. And they're brought this stuff like it's gospel. There's no opposing viewpoint that's introduced at any point. It's just this is the way that it is. And
Right. Kids
are very impressionable, you know, very impressionable. And if they're told by somebody that they trust or respect, and we're made to trust our teachers, right? This is who you learn from. It's really 100%. Hard to break that programming.
Yeah, and that's part of their New World Order takeover agenda, is to, and they've been indoctrinating children for decades now.
Right.
But it's ramped up to the point where If parents don't step in and actually start teaching their children, no, what you're learning is wrong, because here's the actual science behind it. Just like their, you know, stupid Common Core curriculum that they teach now with math and stuff. And I went through that with my daughter and I was like, okay, so they're teaching you have to draw graphs and diagrams and dots and boxes and axes and stuff just to do a simple equation of this plus this equals this.
Right.
Let me show you the way that we were taught and that we learned, and here you go. This is much simpler. And you'll get the answer faster. And it actually makes sense, just like the Green New Deal with the Sunrise Movement and shutting down emissions and carbon is bad. People, carbon is a necessary element in our atmosphere.
Well, and what do trees breathe?
It always has been.
You know, yes. What do trees breathe?
Exactly.
And I get the lecture from my 10-year-old. I mean, he's coming around now because we've sat down and had some really serious talks about it. And I show him science, and it's but his thing was like, we need to stop driving cars that run on gas. And it's like, why? And it's okay, because electric cars are better for the environment. And then you, okay, well, what about the mining that takes place and what it takes to make these lithium batteries that, right, that these electric cars run on? Nobody talks about that.
Right.
You know, it's,
and your emissions are actually higher.
Right.
In the things that they proposed in the Green New Deal. And one of the things is they want to do away with meat completely. And this is a New World Order thing.
Yeah, I'm not,
because, you know, AOC said cows fart and it's methane and that kills the ozone. And so people can't have meat anymore. That's because what they want to give you. Who designed meatless meat and made billions off of that? Bill Gates.
Well, and it all boils back to that guy. And he's meant to be idolized and worshipped by our younger generations. And it's like, that is a, I tell my son all the time, like, that is a bad man.
Yes.
That is not a good person. He's, I mean, I don't know of it. I can't think of anybody off the top of my head that I think is a worse person than Bill Gates, if I'm being honest.
And you know what? I agree with you, because he owns Monsanto, which is who sprays your crops and does the GMO stuff.
Which is, it's killing us.
Right. And the, you know, massive, laughable stuff when they say no antibiotics or no hormones given. And the FDA rules are so lax. And so they're injecting them with massive steroids and stuff, which are super not good for your body.
We shouldn't be eating.
Yeah.
Well, and the heavy metals like in the air, and the fact that he's been killing and maiming people with vaccines for how long? He wanted to black out the sun. That's an honest proposal. He wanted to black out the sun.
With my favorite college on the planet, Harvard. You know what I'm saying? And why would he want to block out the sun? Because vitamin D is super important for each and every one of our health and our immune systems and our physical being and our well-being and our emotional being. Because how many people get like seasonal affective disorder and stuff if they live in a rainy area, or they get it during the winter? Or whatnot, exactly. It's because you're missing that vitamin D. And so this jackass wants to block out the sun so that you can all die of depression or kill yourselves or whatnot, which again goes back to depopulation, because he's all for that.
Right.
He's a globalist.
And I was on, when I quit drinking, they put me on Prozac, right? Which it's like, okay, great. Research. I mean, Prozac is almost all fluoride,
right?
And then now I got to research fluoride, right? And then
I find out massive amounts.
And it's like, then you realize that it was used in the water at the internment camps, and now they're pumping it into our water in the city, and it's like,
and
it calcifies your pineal gland.
Yeah,
you know, that's my third eye. I want that.
And what's the most prescribed antidepressant? Prozac.
Right. And that's all. I mean, it's, I think it's like 90% fluoride.
Yes.
I mean, that's the main active ingredient.
You're 100% right. And it not only affects your emotional well-being, and damages your ability for critical thinking and memory, things like that, but it also destroys sexual function. It destroys fertility. It destroys all kinds of things. If you research fluoride, it will literally scare the shit out of you.
Oh, it's terrible.
Of how many things on the planet that fluoride is in and the effects that it has, because it also damages your organs.
Well, and like back to the indoctrination that we receive in high school and in post-secondary school and everything else, like you're made – And then you throw in social media, right? Where everybody just puts on this show like they're the happiest people in the world. So you think you're the only person in the world that's unhappy or that has a hard time, right? So you go to the doctor and you talk to them about it and they, oh, you're having a hard time today? Here's Prozac, you know?
Exactly.
And then you take Prozac. And my thing, like what made me really start looking into it was like, Prozac helped me for like a month.
Right.
And then, but you build a tolerance to it.
I was going to say that the 1 month is the initial phase for your body to actually regulate to the medicine.
Right.
And that's how you feel an effect during that particular 4 weeks. And then after that, that's when shit changes.
Well, and then they just want to feed you more.
Right.
And it got to the point where after like 3 or 4 months, it was like I was on the almost on the highest dose that was available, right? And so what happens when I up my dose and then we're in this boat again in 3 months? And it's like, oh, well, we'll just couple it with this.
Yes. And that's,
you know,
my daughter and I had this discussion because, you know, my whole thing is nowadays they diagnose people with depression and anxiety at the same time. Yep. You either have one or you have the other. You cannot have both.
Well, and they tell you that one causes the other and it's this perpetuating
and
cycle.
And it's not true.
Garbage.
But the medications fight each other. And so one day you're going to have depression and one day you're going to have anxiety because your body doesn't know what the fuck is going on. It's in a constant state of excitation and your body has a normal balancing mechanism that's called homeostasis.
Right.
And your body always has, you know, releases hormones and then it releases counter hormones so that it always keeps you in balance. And those two classifications of drugs always keep you in a constant state of flux. And then you're like, oh, well, oh my God, I'm having a lot of anxiety now. So then they have to add something else.
Right.
And then they have to add something else on the other side.
And this causes a symptom that you've got to take another drug for.
Exactly. And then your stomach's all messed up. Gee, wonder why. I don't know. Maybe because it actually works through your stomach and it's going to cause you to have nauseousness, vomiting, upset stomach, diarrhea, et cetera, et cetera.
I almost died in January, Janet, from severe peptic ulcer disease. I lost 35 pounds in 3 days.
And that's one of the common things with anybody that has ever been on, especially Prozac, but all the other antidepressants, anti-anxiety medications, it breaks down the lining of your stomach and your intestines.
Couple that with an empty stomach and coffee all day, and you've got yourself a pretty bad situation. But nobody told me this when I went to the doctor. I mean, I went in there and they put me on some, antacids, right? And sent me home and told me to keep taking my Prozac.
Right. Which does, and the antacids will do something completely different to your system because those are also not good. And then you get leaky gut syndrome.
Well, and I had a reaction to the Prilosec that they gave me, and that almost killed me.
Yes.
So it's just, it got to the point where I just refused to take everything. It's like, no, everything that you give me makes me worse. So just stop, you know, stop. And it was hard. It was a lot harder to get off of the antidepressants than it was to feel the way that I felt to begin with.
Right.
Right.
Because you go through, because it changes your chemical makeup so much, it causes you to actually have withdrawals. Right. And your body goes into this like complete and total panic state where you're
in fight or flight all the time.
Exactly.
And we're not meant to be.
And so that's why I was so happy to have you on today and why I said you're like my other spirit human. Because you and I have both had the same kind of experiences where it's like, take this. I know your heart is really shitty, but take this because this will make you feel better. And that shit made me lose the use of my arms and legs and goddamn near killed me.
Yep.
and damaged my heart even worse. And I'm like, no fucking thank you.
Which is how I found crystals and meditation and everything else. Exactly. Was there, exactly. There are remedies. They tell you that you live in this world that's just trying to kill you, right? And that the only way that you can be saved is by these miracle drugs. Because they don't want you. I mean, first of all, the human body is incredibly resilient. Like, incredibly resilient. It's a self-regulating organism. And there are all these things that are available that help with that. They don't teach you about grounding or, you know, anything. They want to feed you drugs. And when you start to realize that, like, I mean, it makes me sound like a crazy person to say it, but like, everyone is trying to kill me, you know, everyone is. It's in the food that I eat. It's in the pills that they give me that they're telling me that's helping me. It's in, you know, I turn on the TV and I'm literally being brainwashed, right? It's everyone is trying to kill me. And, you try to tell somebody this and you sound like a cokehead that needs to go to sleep. But you realize that it's all connected.
And it is everything, absolutely everything from the drug industry, the corrupt government swamp, you know, cancer institutes, the whole nine yards, the banking system, literally everything.
People ask me all the time what my favorite conspiracy theory is, right? And it's like, there's only one. There's just one giant conspiracy. It's all different hands of the same beast. I mean, I can't remember what the dragon or the serpent is with all the different heads. Right. The Hydra. That's
right.
What it is. It's just different arms of the same animal, and one pushes you run from one and it pushes you right into another one, but they're gonna get you. Like if they don't get you one way, they'll get you another way.
So let me ask you a question. Were you always into stuff, or did it happen like after a certain thing happened, you know, a certain like event, false flag, whatever you want to call it? Or was it like the medical industry, or what exactly did it for you where you're like, holy crap? More you research, the more you're like, Jesus.
I always knew I was being lied to, right? And I always used to tell people, like, I don't know what the truth is, but I know what they're feeding me tastes like bullshit. And that was, like, one of my favorite things. I mean, since I was in high school, I mean, I was the first one that I knew that started talking about 9/11 being an inside job. And this is 10 years ago, you know, I started talking about this. And people called me a conspiracy theory, right? So then I did some digging and I decided I was going to find out what a conspiracy theorist was. Okay. And then I realized that I learned that this is what they started calling people after JFK, because people knew the government was lying to them. And then I started to tie into how they were associating it with things in movies. And they would post all this shit about, this is what conspiracy theorists believe, to put you in this crazy box. Right. And that's what started tying everything together for me. So like, when I got sober and I wasn't just hammered all the, cause I mean, I was in bad shape. Like if I didn't have a drink by 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning, I was withdrawing so hard that like I couldn't hold a pen. So when you live in that kind of a state, you don't research shit. You kind of just accept stuff as it is and you bury it, you know? So as soon as I got that out of my life, I had all this time that I didn't know what to do with. So I started just trying to occupy myself with different stuff. Now, what really, really like strapped a rocket to me was COVID.
Right.
Okay. I've always been interested. I've always researched. I've always been a critical thinker. But being locked up, right? I lost my grandpa. I was locked up. I couldn't leave the house. Like it was this perfect storm of bullshit that made me realize that like I just had this light bulb and it was like all of it's connected. All of it, you know?
So I know you and I have talked about this, but tell the listeners like what happened to your grandpa.
So he had multi-acute organ failure. He ran out of organs that worked good. And I moved in about 8 months before he passed to take care of him because he wouldn't hire a caretaker. He was stubborn and proud and didn't want anybody to help him with anything, but couldn't take care of himself. So I watched him. He had diabetes. He was going to lose a leg. He was just falling apart. And it was crazy because he was the healthiest dude I ever met until he had this like routine heart procedure. And he had like a heart attack, and then they put him on all these drugs for it.
I was just going to say, it's the medications.
Well, yeah. And they told him he had, his kidneys were bad. So they put him on medication, or he had diabetes, they told him, which he had never had an issue before in his life with, like, I know diabetics who have fainted, and like, he never had a problem with it. Right. But they just told him, oh, like, you're diabetic, so you need to start taking this. And that killed his liver and his kidneys. And then he had to take dialysis, you know? And so at the end, he was at dialysis 4 times a week or 3 times a week at 4:30 in the morning, because that was the only time that he could get in. He had zero quality of life, and they just kept feeding him more drugs. And I'm watching this, and it's like, dude, they're not helping. Like, why are you taking more? None of this is helping you. And he's like, well, because that's what the doctor told me to do. And it just got worse and worse and worse until, you know, at the end, I mean, his body just gave up is what it was.
Right.
And then they tried to give him COVID before he died. Like, he just, it was incredible to see him go from the healthiest man I had ever met. I mean, he was up at 4 o'clock every morning fishing, and this dude was my best friend. Like, I have never met a soul that was so active and just, dude, that guy lived, right? And it took one event where he had to sit down, you know, for like a couple weeks because he needed to recover, and they put him on these drugs, and that started this spiral that he never crawled out of. It just, he got worse and worse, and they put him on more and more drugs, and his body just quit. So that was a big part of what made me kind of start looking at me and what was happening in my life, you know, losing him, and then the lockdowns and all these conspiracies. And I started listening to Sam Tripley, who made this comment. He says, you know, conspiracy always leads to spirituality. And when he said that, this light bulb clicked on for me. Right. And it was like, okay, I'm all in. And I met this girl that, it was the weirdest thing. Like, we connected super hard. We were inseparable for like 2 weeks. And then I left her house one day, and she stuffed this piece of amethyst into my backpack and didn't say anything to me. And then we just wanted nothing to do with each other all of a sudden. It was like, bam, it was over. Whatever there was gone. And there was no event that happened to make me not like her, or her not like me. It was just the spark, or whatever you'd call it, was gone. And so I like firmly believe that this girl came into my life to give me that rock.
Right.
And
I agree with you, because I always say everything happens for a reason, and every person, whether bad or good, every person and every event in your life is a stepping stone and a learning experience. And some people are meant to be there for 5 minutes, and some people are meant to be there for a lifetime.
Right.
And they're there for a purpose.
And I mean,
you should always pay attention to that. Always.
It lit this fire in me, Janet. And it was like, it didn't just get me going down the energy and crystals path. It made me realize that, like, there was something to learn from all these fucked up people in my life. Right. Mm-hmm. And instead of being angry about it, it was like, what am I supposed to learn from this? Right. And it started tying into all these. I mean, I died once in, I think I was 22. Long story short, when I was a kid, I was like, I started drinking because I started experiencing like really weird stuff. I was feeling people's auras and their energies, and got really, really weird. It's hard to explain what I was feeling, but I get these it was crazy. And so I started drinking at like 12 years old, and I had this dream before I started drinking of this owl. Right. And I'm obsessed with owls. I'm looking at 12 of them from where I'm sitting right here. I've got owls all over my room, which people try and tell you is evil. It's a symbol of knowledge, right? The indigenous people loved owls. It's, you can make a symbol it's the intent that's associated with the symbol.
Right.
But I had this dream of this owl, and at first I was really scared, and I thought he was like there to attack me. And then I started to decide that, like, all right, he wasn't mean. He was just watching me. And then he was trying to guide me to something, right? And I always woke up before we got to where we were going. But 10 years later, I think I was 22 and I got shocked by 440 volts, which is what comes out of the power line.
Oh, yeah.
And it stopped my heart. Like I was dead. I dropped 8 feet onto my back, onto the concrete from, you know, that plastic step that says do not step on the stepladder. Right. That's where I was hanging out, dropped, and I had this dream again while I was out. Okay. And this owl was guiding me back to my body. Okay. And I had had the dream 10 years before I died. So I was being like, my consciousness was being guided to my body 10 years before it ever left my body.
Right.
And that was like, I didn't put that together until the last 6 months or a year that's what that whole event was. Mm-hmm. Because I tried to run from spirituality for a long time. I had Christianity and my stepdad was a Mormon and I just got organized religion beat into my skull from every angle there is.
Right.
So as soon as I had a chance, I ran from all of it. Right. I didn't want anything to do with any of it. And anytime religion or spirituality got brought up, I would just remove myself from the conversation. Because I don't know whether it was a trigger for me or what it was, but I wanted nothing to do with it. And I just realized in the last year or two that like, I've always been a very spiritual person, there's a difference between religion and spirituality to me.
Right.
I've always known that I believed in some sort of creator or force that created us as a species and this universe and everything else. And I felt like I wanted to develop a relationship with that. But every church that I went to, and maybe it was because of the tattoos, maybe it's where I'm at geologically, but I always felt very judged in a church setting.
Right. Right.
And I'm not going to be judged by anyone. You know,
I was going to say in that this may upset some people, but organized religion is very judgmental.
Right.
Because my husband actually moved here from another state to help start a church here. He got married. They had a baby. Things did not work out. They got divorced. The entire church shunned him.
Right.
And it's like, we don't want to have anything to do with you. And organized religion is like that. And for me, it's not about, because I grew up in a Catholic school. And for me, it's not about a building.
Right. Which the scripture will tell you can worship from your closet, right?
Right. Or your documents or anything like that. For me, it is my personal connection with God. And I will say anybody and everybody that ever listens to me talk knows that I am 100% about positive energy. And right. Putting out positive energy and getting rid of every negative, toxic relationship, person, job, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Anything in your life that is negative that makes you feel awful or sick to your stomach or nauseated or whatever. When you get rid of that, your path completely changes.
Well, and I didn't realize you could get addicted to negativity.
Yes, right. Definitely.
I had no clue that, like, and I looking back, mm-hmm. I realized that, like, if there was nothing bad going on in my life, I would seek it out,
mm-hmm.
right? Because that was my comfort zone.
Right.
And I think Becoming Supernatural is the name of the book that Joe Dispenza, I think his name is. Right. It's a fantastic book, but it talks about having to reprogram your subconscious, how that like 95% of what happens in our life is subconscious, right? We are just kind of along for the ride. And once you are programmed to be negative or have negativity, that's all that you're going to come up with, right? And if it's not there, you will create it. And learning that just blew my mind because it's so counterintuitive to think like, you know, I'm making my life negative. I used to tell people all the time, like, I have the worst luck. Like, bad shit happens to me all the time. And it did, right? But I was manifesting that.
Because I was going to say, because you draw that. Because, and people think that I'm nuts every time I talk about this. But the more negative energy that you give off, the more you pull in. It's like a magnet.
Exactly.
And so when you're like, oh, my life is fucked. I don't make enough money. My house is shitty. I hate my friends. Like, my family's crappy.
You're going to get like, shit on.
Everything. You are literally the person that every bad thing in the universe that could possibly happen is going to.
And that's not to say that it's easy to remove this negativity from your life, right? That was probably the hardest thing that I did.
Right, but it's necessary.
Oh, you have to. I mean, that's no way to live, you know? And there are people that they are just so stuck in it that they don't know how to get out of it. And it's not easy and it takes practice. But like for me, it was crystals and it was spirituality. Right. That did that for me. I also have a ton of orgonite, if you're familiar with orgonite.
Yep.
Orgone is incredible. It's a type of energy. It's been referenced in every culture that there is worldwide. Everybody's heard of it in some form, like chi, prana, ki. Hitler called it vril. Like, it's incredibly real. And it's Wilhelm Reich in the 30s, 40s, and 50s was curing cancer with it. He was changing the weather with it, which is, I'm pretty sure, how a lot of the geoengineering works is right. Based on Wilhelm Reich's work in the 50s before he was suppressed and he was killed, which ties back into this whole massive conspiracy. Like, they're all trying to kill you. This is good. This is bad. They're curing cancer. We can't have this. Cancer is profitable. Get rid of this guy.
Right. 100%.
Tesla was murdered over inventions that he had, you know, because he wanted to give free energy, and we can't have that. If there was a way for them to charge us for oxygen, they would do it. And I honestly think like that's 100%. Where they're going.
Yes, 100%. So let me ask you a question relating to the crystals, because this is what I really, really want to get into that people do not understand.
Yes, ma'am.
Number one, how did you get into it? And number two, there's so many. How did you know? Were you drawn to them like a lot of people are? Or did you actually research first and be like, okay, I'm going to focus on getting this part of me better?
Kind of both. Like that girl that I was telling you about stuffed this chunk of amethyst into my backpack, right? And I knew that we just stopped talking and it felt like shit. Like, I felt like shit. I had just quit taking all of my antidepressants because I decided that I was done with that shit. So I felt like shit, right? And I realized that when I picked up this stone and I held it, and it ended up being like kind of a worry stone type deal for me. I ended up carrying it in my pocket with me everywhere I went. And like when I was having a hard time, I'd get the thing out and I'd rub it and I'd focus on the stone and I would feel better. Okay. And so that was like the first actual evidence that for me to believe something, I have to be able to produce evidence for me. I have to be able to prove to myself that it works. Like blind faith is something that I've never been able to accomplish. So I'm sitting here holding this stone and I start like thinking maybe there's something to this. Okay. And so I went to this rock shop, right? It wasn't a metaphysical store. It was just this rock shop. Right. And the way that I felt when I walked in there, like,
is life changing.
I didn't want to be anywhere else, dude. Like I sound like a crazy person saying this, but those things hum. Like, you walk into a spot like that where there's crystals everywhere and you can hear the shit and you can feel the shit. And they're vibrating. And there's, what's his name? Marcel Vogel. Like I said, he worked for IBM and he talked about this. He proved like scientifically that different crystals carry different vibrations. Even different types of quartz carry different vibrations. Right. True. So we are in tune with that. Right. And we vibrate as people. So you bringing a crystal that carries a certain vibration into your auric field is going to alter your vibrations. Okay. And our vibrations don't just tell the planet how we feel. That tells us how we feel. Right. So walking in there and I kind of just let myself get drug around the store. Right. And I looked at everything and like, this is just this year. Right. So COVID, I'm not supposed to go around touching everything. But there was stuff that I was super, super drawn to.
Right.
And so I bought these stones that I needed to have, and I didn't even know what they were when I bought them, but I got home and I started researching this, and I'm like, damn, like, maybe I know what I'm doing. And different stones have different properties. Like, there,
right.
And there's different chakras that they activate or that they are associated with, but there's also just general properties that they cause. Like, amethyst, for example, is really good for, like, it's like a restart button. Mm-hmm. It's really good for new beginnings. It's great for people with addiction and stuff like that. It's a great starter stone, right? But I started researching all these stones that I had bought, and I'm like, well, this is what I'm working on. This is what I wanted to do with my life. And then so I bought a book, right? And I went from 0 to 100 on this, and I read every book that I could find on crystals and their properties. And there are varying opinions as far as, and it's mildly varying. But these stones, almost every book that you look up amethyst in, it's going to tell you something very similar. You look up labradorite, and it's going to show you something very similar in all these things. And then I started researching the history of them, right? And for thousands of years, people have been using these things. And this is before we could measure the vibrations,
right,
of these. And they knew what they did.
And this is not... like some people, they're not going to believe in this. They don't right. understand it. They don't want to understand it. However, these things have been around for really long periods of time.
It was medicine.
Used in ancient civilizations, ancient cultures, and each one of them does something different. And so the key... if you're a first time person, you have to figure out what's fucked up in your life.
Right.
What you want to change, what you want to accomplish. Your body feels like shit all the time. Okay. So you want something that's healing. You need something that brings you positive energy.
If you're in pain, smoky quartz and petrified wood together have been a source of inflammation and pain relief for thousands of years.
Exactly.
Copper is another one that oxidizes your blood.
Right.
And reduces these are things inflammation.
And these are things that are found in nature, once again, because everybody knows, like, I'm a very big into natural healing now.
Right.
Herbal stuff, things that come out of nature are actually what is meant to cure your body, not man-made pharmaceuticals or man-made procedures.
The problem is it's not profitable to give you a rock that's going to fix all your problems.
I know, but I'm telling you, that's why I wanted to talk about this today, because everybody knows I'm huge on the energy spectrum, and the vibrations that you put out is what you're going to get back. You should always be nice to people.
Yeah.
And I tell people this all the time, because you do not know what that person that you're going to interact with has been through. And so if you're having a shitty day and you put out shitty energy to them, you don't know how that's going to affect them, because you don't know what's already happened in
right.
their life that day. You always should be nice. And I try to live by that. I will always try to do the right thing and always try to be a nice person until I'm pushed in a direction where it's impossible.
Which will happen, you know?
Yes. And it does. It's a test.
I think that the statement I learned in treatment was like, keep your side of the street clean. You know, all you can do is all you can
right.
do.
Yourself.
Exactly. And because you're not any good to anybody else if you're not operating at 100%.
Right.
And another thing that I learned about recently was like the power of words, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not called spelling for no reason. Like we cast spells with our words that can really hurt people and hurt ourselves. And like I tell people all the time at work, you know, somebody will say like, oh, I'm such an idiot. It's like, dude, don't do that. You know, like your body can't sense sarcasm.
Right.
Right. And just as much as you can manifest something by, you know, believing it and walking it into existence, you can take things from yourself by the words that you use.
Right.
And it all goes back to just being positive, and the energy that you're putting out and the way that you're vibrating is what you're going to get back.
And that's why I think like the crystals and the healing power that they have.
It's incredible.
And people can look that up. You can get a guide when you go to a rock shop. You can get guides online. You can buy stuff online if you don't want to go to a shop or you don't know where a shop is. But
the Book of Stones is my favorite resource, is what it's called.
Yeah, and it's good, and it's a very good source of knowledge. And I will tell you, it harnesses the normal healing powers of the earth.
Right.
And I know a lot of people are like, this is like too much and it's too fucked up and like I don't know what you're talking about or this is dumb or whatever. Okay.
It sounds woo-woo, but it's not.
You can have your opinions, but in the ancient times, healers didn't have, quote, medications or doctors to run to or whatnot. They used herbals and things from nature to put themselves and their lives and their bodies back in balance. And it's really important because there's so many different things and so many different pathways that you can take with crystals or things in nature, metals.
Tobacco has been used as a medicine for thousands of years, especially exactly. In Peru and in the Amazon. Like, tobacco is called the original medicine, and it's sacred to them. I know that tobacco is supposed to be really bad, but it's not the tobacco that's bad for you. It's all the nasty shit they put in there with it that's right. Terrible for you. I see a guy that was trained in the Amazon. He's a natural healer, a shaman, whatever you want to call him. And he uses what's called jepe, which it's basically like powdered snuff. It's tobacco. And you use a special tool that like blows it up into your sinus, and it's incredibly, it's got all kinds of health benefits, and it also is really good for decalcifying your pineal gland, which that's a big deal. Like, I always thought that people talk to, you know, your third eye. That's how you intuit things from Mother Nature. And everybody has gotten a gut feeling at some point, or like been standing in the same room with somebody who said what they were about to say. Like, we've all had a weird experience like that, and it's not chance, right?
Right.
Dr. Emoto proved that you can communicate with a glass of water and change it on a molecular level. I don't know if you've seen this research, but he photographed water under a microscope after you looked at it and said something like, "You're beautiful," or
your vibration.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And it changes it. And when you think nasty stuff, like you're ugly, it changes, and it makes these negative, it looks like shit. Whereas when you're saying positive things or you're thinking positive things, it's symmetrical and they're these beautiful shapes. I mean, it blew my mind. And
people that think that is insane, Bob actually did a video about that with the effect of musical hertz on water. And that's all the same thing. It's vibration, which we are all creatures of vibration, and every person on this planet has a vibration in their being, and your frequency and your energy level and your vibration, and I know it sounds weird, but it's put out into the universe, and that's what you give off. So think about all these people that are so filled with rage and so filled with hate. That's like filling up the atmosphere. You have to be better. You have to be different.
And proof of that is we've all stood next to somebody and like gotten a weird vibe. Right? We've all stood next to somebody and didn't want to be standing next to that person again. Like, that's their vibrations that you're picking up on, mixing with your vibrations, and your body's telling you, like, I don't like this.
Right.
Right? That's not by accident. This is, I think that everyone has experienced that. Because I've heard everybody that I know say, like, oh, I got weird vibes from that guy. And they just say it, like, offhandedly, and they don't put two and two together that, like, yeah, that's a real thing. You're interpreting their vibrations.
You want to know something that's kind of fucked up?
I do.
I always talk about, like, being an empath and being able to pick up other people's energy.
Right.
Whether it's negative or positive. And I just want to say, I honest to God believe that every person on the planet is an empath if you just open your mind to that. Because if you've had one of those feelings that made you, like, uncomfortable standing next to somebody, or you're like, that this person gave me the creeps or whatever, you are picking up their vibration. You are picking up somebody else's energy. That is life. That is the way it is. And so anybody that thinks I'm insane or nuts or whatever, kudos to you, but I'm just telling you, that's the way life is.
Well, and I heard you on another...
If you watch that and you pay attention to that, your life is drastically going to change, because you'll know what you need to get away from and what you don't, and who you need next to you in your circle and who you don't.
I heard you say on another podcast that you felt like there were a lot of empaths in this movement. And I believe that the exact same thing that you do, that everyone is an empath. And there's lots of different types of empaths. People are good at different things. But I think step one to unlocking those things is accepting it about yourself. And allowing yourself to experience those things, and not just experience them, but recognize these things.
Right.
And something that makes this movement a little bit different than the general population is that we're open to things outside the box, right? Yeah.
New things, new ideas.
Exactly. And so just that's all it takes, in my opinion, is to be receptive, right? So whereas one person will shut down when they hear something, somebody from this movement is a lot more likely to think it through and say, okay, yeah, I can see that, instead of just rejecting it. Right. And I think that that's what keeps people from realizing that, okay, yeah, maybe I am an empath. I think that a lot of people low-key know and do whatever they can to suppress it. I know that I did. Because you think that people are going to think you're crazy, because it's not talked about in our culture anymore. Yeah. You know, there are a lot of cultures all over the world where this shit is talked about openly.
Right.
And it's
for
just...
For me, it's like sometimes super overwhelming, because I don't just have to be in your physical presence to pick up something. There are times where, like, I get in the Discord, or, you know, I go to the grocery store, or I'm on Twitter, or I'm on, you know, whatever kind of social media, and I'm like, oh, holy moly. Like, I am picking up so much from other people right now. And it's hard to explain to people that maybe aren't in tune or awake to this, but you can literally pick up, like, you know, so many things. Like, my mom's dying, my dad's dying, like, somebody miscarried something, blah, blah, blah. I can literally pick all of that up. I don't just pick up your energy. I pick up what a lot of people are thinking, and sometimes it makes me physically ill.
Absolutely.
And that's why I have, like, I'm going to step back for like a day or two, and I'm going to focus on me and recenter and, you know, focus on healing myself, because sometimes it's so overwhelming. It's very physically exhausting.
Well, and it's like you're experiencing what you're not just realizing it or seeing it, you're experiencing and you're feeling whatever they're putting out. Right. Yep. And that's, we're not necessarily designed to I mean, we're barely designed to deal with our emotions, right? Much less everybody's in the room.
Right.
And it gets incredibly exhausting. I personally am the type of person that people just, I drain into other people. There were people in my life that were just energy suckers, and they came around me, and it was like they were just drawing off of me constantly and constantly and constantly. Right. And you love these people, or you like being around these people, and so you deal with it, right? But at some point, you have to give yourself a chance to recharge. And for me, that's nature. That's going to the forest and taking my shoes off and putting them on the ground. Grounding is something that I think that should be talked about way more than what it is. 100%. And there's scientific evidence now that's coming out that shows that this is like really helping people. We're electric beings, right? And electric devices need ground. Everything else that's electric is grounded. Why are we not, you know? And we started wearing these shoes with rubber on them and lost our connection with the earth. And we're meant to be walking around barefoot foraging, right?
Do you think that's an intentional thing because they knew that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that a big part of I think that it's all intentional. Like, I don't think the powers that be want us to know what we are or what we're capable of. I think that that's what scares them more than anything, is us waking up to the abilities that we all carry around that are dormant.
Right. I agree.
And it's 100% malicious in my mind. And that goes back to like, everyone's trying to kill me. There's this small group of people, and life is a game, right? And there's a small group of people that's playing on a completely different board than we are.
Right.
Right. That understand all of this. And I think that a long time ago in ancient times, I think everyone had this knowledge, right? I think that everyone was in tune with Mother Nature and understood how important all this stuff that we're talking about was, and understood crystal work. And like, it was just a fact of life, right? And at one point somebody just decided, okay, I'm going to take the this
technology.
Exactly. It's like the military hides all this stuff. Right. We have no idea what they're doing. I think that this stuff is equally as powerful as these weapons of mass destruction, all this crazy technology that we have, because it's inside us.
Right.
Right. So they don't want us to know what we can do. Right. And because I think that we as humans are capable of incredible things. I think that telepathy and stuff like that is the beginning of it. I think that just barely scratches the surface of what we're capable of. I also think that like this life in general is a very small part of what we are as beings. I don't think that when we die that this is, I don't think that this is it. I think that this is a learning experience, and that we're here to learn and love, and that we take all of this somewhere. And whether people believe in reincarnation or past lives or anything, like I think that this life that we're living right now is a blip on the radar of the grand scheme of things.
I do too.
And that there's just, the whole world is set up to keep us you could look at it like a simulation and say that like all of this bullshit that's thrown at us is just to keep the observer engaged. Right. Because when the observer isn't engaged, the observer gets to think about the rules and the constructs of the simulation, which is not ideal for the people that are running the simulation. Right. If it doesn't feel real and it feels like a bullshit dream, then nobody's going to take it seriously. We're not designed to just go to work and pay our taxes and die. Right. Yeah, and that's what the world is set up to make us do.
Yeah. And for me, it's thinking about bigger picture, like all of these things have existed for a very long time in nature, used in healing by many different civilizations and stuff. Even think about this, even like the building technology that we had where they were making all of these pyramids and stuff and then it disappeared.
Right.
And then think about this, like, the space technology, and we supposedly went to space like 9 different times.
And then we accidentally deleted the
Yeah, and then we don't have the technology anymore. And here's the thing, and this is what I want people to understand, and I know this sounds fucked up, but think about this, and think about those two things I just said, and realize that you, as a human, your power to heal yourself, and your power for brain capacity and technology and intelligence, they don't want you to have because it's dangerous.
Right.
Why? And why are they trying to dumb everybody down? I think it's because we're just so much more of a super being, I guess you want to say.
We're way more special than they'll let us believe.
Yeah. And they don't want you to know that. And they don't want you to realize your intelligence. And so they have to do everything they can through propaganda or what have you, whatever it is, medications, et cetera, to like make you believe that you're not worthy and you're not smart and you're not, you know, this and you're not that, when actually you are. If you just set aside whatever they're trying to sell you and be like, okay, like here's your arrows in the grocery store to go left. Yep. I'm going to go right. And follow your own path, because I'm telling you what, when you realize and when you wake up, you can't unlearn, and then you're constantly learning. And that's what they hate the most.
Right. The part that blows my mind the most is ancient civilizations, right? We're made to believe that they were primitive, and we right. refer to them as savages and shit like that, you know, but they have technology that we can't even figure out that we can't replicate.
Right.
Right. There are these churches. I had my mind blown recently about these churches that exist, and there's some in Spain. I think there's a couple in other parts of Europe. Yep. And there's these organs in them, right? That we don't know who built the organs. We don't know. They're these churches that are just so elaborate that we don't even know that we could build them that way. Okay. But they were built by people with bronze tools.
Right.
Right. And there's theories that these organs are healing organs. They're even called healer organs. Right. Right. And that they were healing people with sound and with vibration. And that makes total sense to me. Seeing what I can do with a rock and what healing tones can do for people. Like, imagine a giant church organ, right? That was just producing these resonant frequencies that were running through your body. I mean, we already know that it heals inflammation and that it cures all this other stuff. With concentrated energy and sound, you can literally cure cancer, okay? Right. Which is what everybody's supposed to be scared of.
Truth.
And so how are we made to believe that these cultures were uneducated and primitive when they had knowledge that we don't even possess, right?
Way as the general population.
How did somebody with no electronic devices whatsoever build pyramids that lined up to stars
perfectly with no mortar?
Right.
And with very primitive tools.
How did Machu Picchu, or however you say that place, you can't even stick a credit card in those cracks.
Right.
Right. But they did it with Bronze Age tools. That's what we're meant to believe. And that's when you ask them about it, it's because that's the way that it is.
And oh my God, we lost that technology. Like we have no clue. And how did the Vikings make ships and stuff with literally wood pigs and stuff, and they bent the wood and all that with very primitive stuff? How did that happen?
Yeah, navigate thousands of miles in the ocean.
Yeah, and now we're like, oh well, yeah, we don't know. Like that disappeared. Like it disappeared, and like the space travel stuff disappeared, and like everything that we knew about life disappeared. Bullshit. Bullshit, people. think about what they are suppressing from you, history-wise, medical-wise, every aspect of life-wise, and you will start to wake up in a way that you have never thought before.
There's so much more than we see. And there's so much more than they want us to see. And that, like, once you realize that, the rational conclusion that you come to is, well, if I don't see this, it's because it's hidden from me, right?
Right.
And then the next question is, who's hiding it, right?
Right.
And then the next question is, why? Okay. And these are rational questions. These are like common sense questions. Once you realize it's there, every answer leads you to another question, right? And it's all because they're hiding it from you. And
exactly.
Why? Right?
Because
if it's nothing,
something
then
that
why?
They, exactly. And it's something that they obviously don't want us to know or realize because, oops, like if you actually found herbal healing stuff from nature that actually fixes all your problems, well, fuck, we can't sell you pharmaceuticals anymore that
right.
cost a shit ton of money and we make trillions of dollars off a year. Oh, well, yeah, no, we cured cancer. That's a problem because we make shit tons of money on poisoning you with toxins. That's bad. Like we know a lot about technology and how we suppress it, but yeah, that's bad too, because then we lose all our money.
Well, and so that's why this whole movement is so important to me. Right. I didn't give a shit about politics, right? Or who is in charge or any of this. Like, this is a domino that is going to wake people up and say, like, look, dude, they're lying. They're lying. They took this from you, whether it's Dominion or whether it's the fact that our votes don't count or any of this, right? Or the fact that there's a giant organization that's working against us. Like, all of these things are dominoes, and once they start to fall, there's no stopping it, and it leads to another door, that when you open, it leads to another door. And like,
100%.
What matters to me is the end game, and the end game is us knowing who we are and what we are and why we're here.
Right.
Okay? And I think that this movement is a huge catalyst to all
and
of that.
To me, that is so spot on because, and I've said this before, once you learn, you can't unlearn, or once you know, you can't unknow. And so then your craving for information and for knowledge is like greatly increased, which increases your vibration, which increases your energy, and you grow and grow and grow and grow. And it's something they'll never be able to stop. If you keep thinking, and if you keep thinking outside of the narrow little slit that they're trying to show you, you know what I'm saying? If you think outside of that and you start like, oh my God, like none of this, what they're saying makes any sense. Let me look further. Let me use my brain, which is the greatest supercomputer on the planet is your brain.
It's an organic supercomputer.
Yeah, and once you know, you cannot unknow. Like
what
ever.
Changed things for me is the day that I realized that I was a spiritual being having a human experience, not a human being having a spiritual experience.
Truth.
And it was like, mind blown, it's on, fifth gear, let's figure it out, you know? And it hasn't stopped for me since then. Like, it's...
Right.
It's all the same conspiracy. It's all the same idea. It's just how we get there. And I think that everybody gets there on a different road. I don't think that there's one, you know, you can't put people in boxes. It's just like, that's what's wrong with identity politics, right? We're not one thing or another. Like, we all have a spiritual journey that we're on. And it doesn't matter what puts you on that path. What matters is the fact that you end up on that path and that you walk it, right? Because this whole world is designed to knock you off of that path or to make you give up on that path. So once you decide that this is your journey and that you're going to walk it and that nothing is going to stop you from that, you're the most dangerous thing that they can imagine. That's what they fear more than anything, is you refusing to take no for an answer. You're going to manifest your destiny and you're going to be who you're supposed to be. And there's nothing that's going to stop you from that. Like, yeah, that is their biggest fear.
And I couldn't agree more, because the one thing they hate more than anything else is people actually becoming alive and having critical thought again, and looking at stuff and being in tune with yourself and being in tune with nature and realizing that you're actually way smarter than what the controllers want to tell you that you are.
Absolutely.
So to me, like, all you can do is to live your best life, be your best self, and constantly have that need and that desire to just grow and grow your love for yourself and your spiritualness and your just being who you are and appreciate who you are and make that grow. And they hate that because they don't want you to be that kind of person. They want you to be submissive and stupid and not question and just be like a rock.
Well, and that's why they've made it so hard to live and to be a human, right? They want you working 60 hours a week to provide for your family and struggling with no time to meditate or to focus on you or to research your spirituality or figure out what you are, who you are. They want you so focused on the grind that there's no time for anything else. And again, this is all by design. It's not an accident, you know?
No.
We live in this debt-based society where we're all slaves to our own debt, right? And you can't move forward without debt. It's impossible. They have created a society where it is impossible. You can't own a home with no debt. I mean, who can go out and buy a house with cash, right? Who can go out and buy a car with
cash? Only the super rich people, which those are the people that are doing all of this to
us. Exactly. And those are the people who the system is designed for to benefit. They were supposed to be batteries. Like, I mean, people talk about, you know, how inhumane it is, the way that people raise cattle and shit. Like, that's us on a bigger scale. We're somebody's cattle, the way that this system is designed.
100%.
And I refuse to be somebody's livestock, right? That's what changed for me, was like, I'm not. And the crazy thing is like, once you stop focusing so hard on all the monetary material bullshit and you start focusing on you and what you need and what makes you happy, and you start emitting these vibrations that the universe wants to receive, things start falling into place and you don't have to fight anymore. Things start happening for you, right?
Amen.
And you manifest this reality for yourself that is an actual existence, right? And the first step to that is to stop and say, no, I don't accept this.
Right.
Right.
Agreed.
And it's not always easy, but that's the first step, is deciding, no, I'm not going to be somebody's cow. Right. I'm not going to be somebody's livestock. I'm not going to live in this fucking field and graze all day just so that I can be butchered at the end of the day and somebody can eat me. Because that's what's happening.
Yeah. And the same thing, it's no different with the mask stuff. Say no.
Just say no. People are like, how do you get up, into the store?
Stand up for your health and your rights, because nothing they're telling you is anything more than submissiveness.
Right.
They're preparing you for what's to come in your future, because people are so dumbed down, they will not fight back.
People don't understand where this road leads. People don't understand what the mask means and what that turns into. People don't understand what the censorship means. Okay, censor Alex Jones. He's a kook. No, you don't understand what door you just opened.
Right.
Right? This is a domino. Just like the domino that I was talking about with this movement. Once we start getting, and they can't take our rights, right? They can just convince us to give them up. Okay. And as soon as that starts to happen, it's the next one. And then it's the next 100%. One. And it's the next one. And that's not a road that anybody wants to go down.
And it's a death by a million little cuts.
Yep.
Because, and I'm sorry, this is going to be too much for some people. But if you're so stupid that you're going to be like, oh, but yeah, I might make someone else sick. No, healthy people don't make other people sick. If you're a healthy person, screw that.
What happened to the flu this year?
You better fight. Yeah.
Where'd
I
it
have
go?
My own thoughts on that. Yeah.
You know, this is, we're accepting a narrative is what's happening. And
that's fake.
Somebody else's narrative. We're not doing our own research and we're not drawing our own conclusions. We're doing what we're told blindly.
Right.
Right. And
without
that
questioning.
Yeah.
Because
you have to question.
You lost your ability to have common sense and knowledge and thought process on your side. Stop it, people. Stop it.
Question, right? There's nothing. We live in this society where we're shunned, we're shamed for questioning things. They call you a some kind of ist, right? Every time you ask a question, you're some type of bad person. They're going to come at you some type of way about how terrible you are. But when did it become bad to ask a question, right? And in my opinion, anything that won't stand up to questioning is bullshit. So if I can't ask you a question about something that you don't have an answer for, it's garbage, right? Otherwise, you'd have an answer for me. That's the way that my brain works.
Exactly. And if you have to call me a name in response to a question, then obviously you don't have anything on your side to back that up. You're pushing an agenda.
And that's not a group I want to be a part of.
I will not be driven by agenda, regardless of what side it's on. I just will not.
Right.
Like, period. I'm a free thinker and I'm always going to be. And I don't agree with some people on the right. I don't agree with a lot of people on the left. I don't agree with a lot of people because I have that ability to think for myself and I'm not going to give that up.
Well, and the fact
like, ever.
We support Trump, people will tell you that makes you a Republican or that I'm not a Republican, right? I'll be the first person to say it. I don't fit in boxes. I'm not at anything, right? I think for myself and I draw my own conclusions and I create my own narratives based on research that I do.
Right.
Okay. That's what I am. And the fact that I'm in Donald Trump's boat right now says nothing about me, but the fact that I am trying to preserve my freedom.
Exactly.
Because the alternative is the opposite.
Exactly. And it's 100%. And you're correct on that because Joe Biden and other leaders around the world are pushing the WEF Build Back Better slogan, which is global domination, global control, and our submission to the UN. And I'm sorry, but I'm not going to let them behead me or behead somebody I know because they're gay or lesbian or because you don't concede or conform or
because
whatnot.
You have a different opinion.
No. Yeah, no, I'm going to fight for that. And I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to fight for the people who are too weak-minded or feeble-minded to fight for themselves. And so you're not going to take that away from me. It's just
I'll be a human
happen.
Shield. You know, and the thing is, the same people that are screaming at me at the store are the people that I'm trying to stand up for.
Exactly.
Right? And that's what they don't get. It's like, I'm trying to save the last few rights that you have right now.
Right.
You know, and
before you have none.
Yeah. And it's like, read 1984, because that shit scared the hell out of me.
Exactly.
Right. Look at what's going on in these other countries all over the world. And we talk about what makes America great. It's really easy to sit here and talk about how shitty it is without having been anywhere else. Right. But there are people that would kill to be here experiencing the shit that we have that the people who live here are so entitled to think that like where to the people that hate it here so much, like where are you going to go where you're going to get what you want?
Because it's everything. If you concede your rights, every person or every place on the planet, there will be nowhere to run. There's going to be no safe spot. There's no going to be a utopia. They're selling you horseshit in a can because every single country and nation in the world will be under UN control.
Right.
And if the UN doesn't scare you, then obviously you don't know shit about it.
Well, and the whole world
is watching.
You need to start
looking up. So, yeah, definitely.
The whole world, because this is like the last stand. If the US goes down,
and we all fall.
The world is gone. This is it.
Yep.
You know?
Truth.
And I don't think that people get that. And the same people that are in the streets burning down empty buildings that people worked their whole lives to own right? And saying defund the police and all this other crazy stuff, like, they don't understand what that means. They just understand that they were told that they're supposed to be upset and that they don't like things. And it's like, what sense does it make to go burn down a building or loot a building or attack somebody who's a small business owner based on a different set of beliefs or based, I mean, half of those people didn't even have a reason to do any of the stuff that they did. They were literally young adults throwing a fit.
Well, it's because they were told to, because under the WEF, small businesses don't exist. Only the large global corporations that fall in line do. So you won't have mom and pop shops. You won't have private restaurants. You won't have anything that's not publicly or globally traded. You won't have any of that stuff. No small chain stores, no nothing, because it's if it's not global, it's nothing.
Well, and one thing I can tell you is that people were absolutely getting paid. There were people that were getting paid to burn shit down.
100%.
The pallets of bricks were being dropped off all over my city that right before the riots. Like, anybody who will try and say that the shit just popped off and it wasn't organized and planned and orchestrated is just not seeing the whole picture.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and that goes back to the same small group of people. It's all the same group.
Right.
All of it.
And it's people's blindness and unwillingness to actually take part in the truth and critical thought.
Right.
And it's really frightening that there's people out there like that, but those people you can't ever help.
Well, because NPCs.
Some people are beyond, like, ever reaching a rational critical thought process.
Well, and I was telling somebody in the chat today, they were like, well, you know, my family, they just won't get it and there's nothing that I can say. And it's like, listen, dude, there are people that, like you said, are beyond convincing, right?
Right.
But those people in a month or 2 months when all of this shit is revealed are going to need you, right? Because their whole paradigm is about to get fucking shattered.
Right.
Everything that they know and everything that they believe they're about to get shown is a lie. And that they were being used and that they were pawns and that they were, you know, that's when, and what I can't imagine believing what some of the people that I care about believe and knowing what I know and knowing that they're going to find out and that all of this is going to come out. I cannot imagine what that's going to feel like for them. Right. And as angry as I am that they won't fucking listen, it's like, I feel bad for them.
Yeah. Cause people will wake up on their own timeline. That's why one of the things that kind of, like, is a pet peeve in this, you have to have patience because shit does not happen on your timeline. It does not happen when you want it to. It will happen when the universe is good and goddamn ready for it to happen.
Right.
And so, cool your jets and calm yourself, because it's not your decision when somebody else chooses to accept information.
Well, it makes me think of Hook, which is my favorite movie, when I was a kid, and that scene where he's talking to Jack and he just says, me, 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 my, now, you know, we live in this culture where everybody wants what they want and they want it right this fucking second. And if they don't get it, then they throw impatient. A fit.
Yeah, they lost complete and total patience. And so along with the technology, you lost all your creative thinking, all of your intelligence, and your ability to be patient and wait. Because how long did the people, long, like hundreds of years ago, how long did they wait before they actually got food?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Go back to that and learn patience and learn, you know, to be docile and learn to be a calm person and a good person and a knowledgeable person.
Right.
And then things are going to be fine.
instead of why can't I have what I want right this second, if people
Exactly.
would think like, what can I learn from this? Why am I here? And what do I take from this? How can I grow from this? If that was the question that people ask themselves instead of why is my life so shitty?
Right.
We'd be in a completely different world.
How can I change things to make shit better?
Right. And all people have, it's no, I don't accept this. What can I do to change it? And how can I grow?
Right. So we're going to have to close it up because, of course, mama's got to go pee like a racehorse again, like always. Mr. Jeff, where can they find you at? Where can they follow you? Where can they learn more about you and about stuff that you have to bring?
Basically, my only online presence is on Instagram. I would love to answer any questions that anybody had about anything that we talked about or anything else that, I mean, questions lead to answers that lead to more questions. And true. I love helping people find their path. I mean, I'm a firm believer that we all have the tools. It's just sometimes we need somebody to help us pick them up and show us that we have the tools, and teach us how to use them. And, I am Jeff Stradamus on Instagram, JeffStradamus with an underscore. And I would love to answer any questions or talk to anybody about anything that comes to mind, really. So I'm very social person.
What are your final thoughts today?
My biggest thing is just question everything. You know, there's so much stuff that we've been handed, and we just accept it because that's what we've been told. And I think that's bullshit. And I think that when it's boiled down, most of the things that we believe because that's what we were told. And I think that there's a lot of room for research and a lot of room for common sense. And I would just encourage people to learn for themselves and draw their own conclusions and develop their own narrative, because you accepting something without questioning it is you accepting someone else's narrative. And I don't think that's something that anyone should do under any circumstances.
Amen.
And if you have someone in your life who is going to fault you or call you something or treat you like shit because you're questioning something, then that's not a person that you need in your life. And we're better off without them at that point, you know, move on. Everybody's not going to want to answer your questions and everybody's not going to want to hear what you have to say. Waking up is kind of a lonely deal, to be honest. I see memes all the time about, you had a spiritual awakening. So like you lost all of your friends and your family alienated you, which that's kind of how it feels sometimes, you know, because people aren't willing to be open-minded and expand their consciousness like what you're trying to do when you're on that kind of a path and that kind of a journey. So that's something that I would just kind of keep in mind when you're researching, is it's, you're outside the norm now. You know, once you start to wake up, you're kind of on an island by yourself, which is why this community is something I'm so thankful for, is that all these like-minded people in one spot that I was telling you earlier, you know, a lot of times I feel like I'm just trying to beat wisdom into somebody's head because I give a shit about them and they just want me to shut up, you know? So having a community where there's people that are open-minded and receptive to what I have to say or the ideologies that I'm trying to push is something that I'm very grateful for. And if there's a way that I can help support it or support anybody that's trying to be a part of it, then that's something that I would love to do. So
amen to that. And for me, my final thoughts are always be positive. Always put forth good energy, good vibration. Surround yourself with positive energy, positive people. People that are not going to retract from you and treat you in a manner less than you deserve. Always question, always learn. Every day you learn something new, that's a good day. So make sure that you are very in tune and very in touch with that. And you can follow me on the new Twitter at no KNOW with a capital K, Janet, JANET with a capital J. So at no Janet on Twitter. Got to build that following back up because they nuked the fuck out of me. You got to follow me on Instagram, Deplorable Janet. Of course, I'm on the 4D Media site. literally every day, all the time. Lots of big things planned. Still writing the fuck you political poetry book. Still writing a library of resources for you guys to check out. Still going to do the podcast. Still going to be in your face loud and proud all of the time. But anyway, for me and for Jeff, have a wonderful evening, and we will see you again next week.
Thanks. Peace again, out. Janet.